Welcome to A Brand New Day with BTS, a podcast dedicated to bringing you a day-by-day history and song discussion of the South Korean music group internationally known as BTS. In today's episode, we talk about April 7th in Bangtan history, the intro track to Oh, Are You Late Too, as well as my experience at the J-Hope concert in Oakland. But first, BTS activity last week, March 29th to April 4th. RM shared posts relating to the Reverse release of his documentary film Right People, Wrong Place, including his handwritten thank you notes to his team, the musicians, BTS and ARMY, for bringing the project to life. He also posted about the Lost MV winning another award. V donated money towards the South Korean wildfire relief efforts through the Red Cross. Jin, meanwhile, volunteered his time, traveling to the affected area and distributing meals alongside Chef Beck's team and some chefs from Culinary Class Wars. We also got episode 28 of Run Jin, Falling for Jin. This episode guest starred Hung Sik, which many of you may know as a member of the Wooga Squad who is friends with V. They played a version of Yoot Nori that got a little out of hand. J-Hope was, of course, the most visibly active. He performed two nights in Oakland, California. The shows were amazing. I was at them. I especially liked his encore outfit on the second day. As is his habit, he posted selfie videos from each soundtrack, and then he did a live after the second show. He did the live basically 2 minutes after he got off stage. I was still in my seat, and I hadn't even turned off my ARMY bomb yet when the notification popped up. Jin commented on an ARMY post on Weaver shortly after, teasing J-Hope about his sweaty hair after the show. J-Hope also posted photos from each show the next day. Hobi then traveled to LA. He posted photos from the plane trip and then posted a Mona Lisa dance challenge from his hotel room in a robe and some PJ pants. On Thursday, J-Hope recorded a radio show with Zach Sang that a select few ARMY in LA got to attend. Hopefully we'll get to see or hear that interview soon. Afterwards, he went to a Lakers game, so there's lots of pictures of that on social media. Big Hit also posted a Bangtan bomb of the filming of J-Hope's Shanghai Romance Dance Challenge with Twice, a dance practice behind for Mona Lisa that was filmed over a few days in February, and also their Hope on the Stage short film for the Oakland concerts. My cutoff time for the podcast is Friday Korean Standard Time, but on Friday Pacific Time in LA, J-Hope will be having his first LA concert. And before this episode is posted on Monday, he'll have his second LA concert too. So I hope everybody had a good time at those. This day in BTS history, April 7th. April 7th, 2013. RM tweets to recommend Floral Rain by Tit. Jimin tweets a selfie with the back of Suga's head in the background while he works. Suga tweets about working late again, then realizes that they're close to 2,222 followers on Twitter. Once they exceed that number, he releases the GIF that he prepared onto SoundCloud, which is the song Dream Money. Later, Suga also tweets a selfie that's just his nose and lips. And then Jimin tweets a selfie of the street and says that he, Jungkook, and J-Hope are on their way to Kion Madrid's workshop. They then tweet a photo with Kion and Marie. For those who don't know, Kion Madrid is an American choreographer. He would later work with BTS to develop choreographies for songs such as Dope, Fire, Not Today, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, as well as Jungkook's song Standing Next to You. April 7th, 2014. The Just One Day music video is released. An instant classic, honestly. J-Hope tweets a selfie, Suga tweets a picture of a photography book, and RM recommends the song All Night Long by Stevie Hong. April 7th, 2015. Before there was BT21 or Tiny Tan, there were BTS hip-hop monster plushies. BTS tweet photos of them on this day in 2015. They're only active on Twitter this day because they just had their photo shoot for The Most Beautiful Moment in Life Part 1 the day before, and they're preparing to film the I Need You music video. RM tweets about featuring in the song Primary You. V tweets blurry selfies with takeout hamburgers, and Jimin tweets a short video selfie just after midnight. April 7th, 2016. Once again, a Twitter-heavy day. Suga tweets a photo of his new studio. RM tweets selfies with cherry blossoms and azaleas. Jimin tweets a selfie too, as well as a video of cherry trees and his reflection in a car window. April 7th, 2017. BTS are in Hawaii filming Bon Voyage. This is day three of their trip, where they're staying in their second accommodation on Big Island. They hike to Akaka Falls, then get groceries, and hike up a mountain to go stargazing in the evening. You can watch the whole day unfold on Bon Voyage Season 2, Episode 3. April 7th, 2018. Jimin tweets selfies from the filming of the short film Euphoria, Theme of Love Yourself Wonder, which was released just the day before. Jimin posts photos that Jungkook took of him during the filming of Euphoria 2. RM tweets photos of his outfit. April 7th, 2019. BTS performed their Love Yourself, Speak Yourself concert in Bangkok, Thailand. You can see the behind-the-scenes of it in Episode 3 of their docuseries, Break the Silence. April 7th, 2020. Suga tweets a short clip of the Seesaw Vocal Guide, which he recorded back in February 2018. The 7th is a Tuesday in 2020, so we also get Episode 99 of Run BTS. This is the episode where they go to the florist shop and learn how to make floral arrangements. Fun personal story. For months before this episode aired, one of my online army friends was going on about this cute florist in South Korea who had a TikTok account. Well, imagine her shock when BTS's instructor for the day stepped into frame. Turns out the episode had been filmed mid-2019 and was part of the reason the florist opened an account to begin with, but he couldn't say anything until the episode aired. April 7th, 2021. I have no idea what BTS were up to this day. Either they actually had a day completely off, or they were just too busy practicing the choreography for Butter to be visibly active. The day before, they had had the photo shoot for Rolling Stone magazine's June issue, though. April 7th, 2022. BTS are getting ready for their Permission to Dance Las Vegas concerts. We're also now in the Instagram account era. V posts a video of practice, as well as pictures of his night out in Vegas from the day before. Hobi also posts photos of himself at the Bellagio fountain the night before. They're rehearsing at the stadium on this day, so Jin and RM post photos from the backstage and of the concert sign. After rehearsal, Suga goes back to the hotel and works on music for Anderson .Paak, which you can see a little clip of in his documentary Suga, Road to D-Day. Unless I'm forgetting something important, I don't think this collab has surfaced yet, but it'd be cool to know what they were working on. April 7th, 2023. RM posts a photo of art. Suga releases the music video for People Part 2 featuring IU, which is his pre-release track for the album D-Day. It's also on this day that Suga films the comedy skit Suga, August D, Road to Army, which features an appearance by Jimin. He also films a couple second clips of his Suga, August D, D-Day, Good Day video. The boys are all supportive, of course, with J-Hope, RM, and Jimin all sharing the music video to their personal Instagrams. Suga does a live stream under the Cool Radio 6.13 FM theme, returning as DJ Shub to give advice about people and love. J-Hope and Jimin both call into the show. He talks a lot about himself during the live stream too. It's a great radio show. He didn't realize the demand for his concerts would be so high, so he feels bad that some people couldn't get tickets. He thinks Suchita changed him because now he tends to default to being a host in social situations. If you have the time and miss Yoongi as much as I do, I suggest looking up this live on Weverse. The other boys continue to be active with their own things too. Hobi shares a post from Jimin's backup dancers doing the On the Street Dance Challenge after they heard the news of J-Hope's enlistment. RM shares a post by Soyun of a photo booth film strip of the two of them, a selfie, and photos of himself out Namjooning. Jimin posts a compilation of the Summoning Park Jimin dance meme in which he appears in a clip at the end. Back to supporting Suga, J-Hope posts a dance to the chorus of People Part 2 with Boogaloo Kin. This will later appear in Hobi's documentary Hope on the Street, which will be released while he's enlisted. V posts photos from the filming of Ginny's Kitchen. On YouTube, the group in hyphen posts a behind video featuring Jimin and J-Hope called Enter Key TikTok Challenge with J-Hope and Jimin Sketch in hyphen. April 7th, 2024. Everyone is enlisted, but J-Hope briefly shares a clip of him dancing in uniform at the Hope on the Street pop-up in Seoul, then deletes it. He posts photos from his visit and thanks everyone who came out to it. And that brings us to this year, with J-Hope having wrapped up his post-enlistment North American tour, and next he'll be off to Manila. Song discussion. Oh, Are You Late 2? Intro. Oh, Are You Late 2 is BTS's second EP and the second album in their school trilogy. It was released on September 11th, 2013. The intro is a short 1-11-second track produced by P-Dawg and written by P-Dawg and RM. It was used for their comeback trailer, so it kind of does have a music video. This is different than the Oh Are You Late 2 comeback trailer that they also released before the album dropped, which was a dance performance to other people's music. The comeback trailer with the intro playing is just called Bangtan Sonyeondan Comeback Trailer and was released on August 28th, 2013. It's an animated intro with objects associated with BTS kind of floating through empty space. This is BTS's early days, so the objects are things like a boombox, shoes, a hat with spikes on it, a microphone with spikes on it, sunglasses, a class ring with BTS logo on it. Then RM picks up the rapping. These objects start breaking invisible glass walls. If someone is more familiar with BTS's later works and feels there's something eerily familiar about this intro, Suga used the instrumentation in Interlude Shadow on the Map of the Soul 7 album. On that album, the intro, interlude, and outro all had callbacks to the intros for the first three albums. The imagery of microphones breaking glass was also reused in the Interlude Shadow music video, as well as some of the animated writing from this comeback trailer. There are no performances of the intro, as it's just a little intro for the album, so let's jump into the lyrics. The first part of the song is in English. Is it cheesy? A little bit. Listening to it as an adult, it's very earnest in the way only teenagers can be, when they've discovered something that they feel is very profound. But that being said, it also reminds me of what that felt like as a teenager, how you'd discover something and be like, why is no one talking about this? And it's only as an adult you realize that everyone knows it. They've just been too beaten down by life to be that earnest about it anymore. The thing is, adults still say these things. They just hide it in more flowery, obfuscating language, and sell it as a self-help book to rich executives about how they have to spend 10 minutes every morning meditating on the best way to seize the day. Then they too can live a life in glorious paradise of stress-free financial success. Anyway, let's actually talk about what RM is saying, rather than my distaste for executive motivational speakers. Sticking with the theme of the school trilogy, this intro is about staying true to yourself against the pressures of society and your parents, and holding on to your own dreams. RM encourages us, first in English, to live our own lives and not the lives of other people. He explains the album's title by telling us to never be late to what you want to do right now. In this way, the album is addressed to people who got tied up in outside pressure, who find themselves living lives dictated by others, who are late to following their own dreams. The thing I love about the title of Oh Are You Late Too is that it's a question from the perspective of someone who is in the same boat as you, who also feels they're late to their own dreams. Even though BTS at this point are still basically teenagers that aren't late to anything. I actually remember giving similar speeches as this song to my friends when they were in their mid-20s and worried because their parents didn't approve of their life choices. Likewise, I know many people in their 30s and 40s and older who decided that they'd had enough of a career that they find no joy in anymore, and they switched things up. The important thing is to develop the skill of being able to recognize when you're doing something because you want to, because it will make your life happier and more fulfilling, or if you're doing something because society, your parents, or external forces are trying to convince you that it's what you should want. RM continues to be even more cutting in Korean. I love the lines, "My father told me, enjoy your life. I'd like to ask my father, did you enjoy your life?" Because ouch to RM's father. But it's a good point. Who are you taking advice from, and are they serving as an example or a warning? Or you could interpret it another way. Is it possible to enjoy life at all? Does anyone actually ever enjoy their lives? Or are we all chasing something impossible to obtain? The next two Korean lines seemingly have a difficult-to-translate word in them. Dulcet Bangtan translates the lines as, "Why did right become wrong and wrong become right?" But Bangtan Subs translates them as, "Why did obvious things become not obvious and not obvious things become obvious?" The word they're having trouble translating is one that means natural, fair, or reasonable. So I find it kind of funny that none of them use any of the words in the translations. The question might be posed as, why did natural things become unnatural, and unnatural things become natural? And then we could get into a debate about trying to find happiness in the modern world that has removed us from a lot of the social community that is more natural for the social animals that humans are. Or it could be more personal than that. When did it become natural for you to do things that are against your actual desires or dreams? Or we could go with the fair or reasonable definitions. When did we end up in this unfair or unreasonable system that we pretend is fair and reasonable? The term is most often used when saying things like, well, of course that happened, as in, it's only natural that happened, or it's reasonable that you'd feel that way. So I can see where the obvious translation came from. Reactions that are intuitive and easy to understand their source. And from there, I can see why dulcet would translate it as right, and therefore the opposite as wrong. If we put our hand on a hot stove, it's natural that we'd be hurt. Is society asking us to put our hand on a hot stove and treating that like it's something that we should want to do? After reiterating that you only live once and to live your own life, RM says the lines, my heart stopped when I was 9 or 10. Put a hand to the heart. Tell me, what was my dream? The line, my heart stopped when I was 9 or 10, would be one that he'd use again in his first UN speech in 2018. RM always cites this age as the time that he started letting other people's opinions dictate his behavior. That he started not following his heart or his passions and started trying to fit into a role that others wanted him to do. Finding his way back to the time before that happened seems to be a recurring goal of RM's, and he wants to harness that childhood ability to believe in oneself wholeheartedly and have those childlike dreams for your own future and desire to follow them without worrying or being self-conscious about what others think. A little side story. I don't know if this myth is still prevalent in Army. I haven't seen it in several years. But I think this line confused people at some point, because I remember when I was baby Army, there was a story that RM had had heart surgery as a child. He didn't. The only reference to his heart as a child are these metaphorical ones. Baby Army confusion aside, I find it really cool how consistent RM and BTS are with their messaging and themes. The fact that the school trilogy, which is about following your own dreams against the social pressure of school and parents, directly ties into the Love Yourself, Speak Yourself era, and the UN speech encouraging everyone to find their own voice and convictions, but then is also revisited in the Map of the Soul era, with Yoongi using samples to revisit where his own dreams and ambitions have led him, and how he has to accept the shadows that come with achieving those dreams, in order to move forward. So, in conclusion, live your own life, not any other's lives. What was your dream? Huh, was it that really? Concert report. J-Hope in Oakland. Because the song this week was short, I have a bit more time in the podcast, so I decided to give you my concert report. Also, apologies for my voice in this episode. You'll understand why as I give my concert report. I saw J-Hope in Oakland both nights. I originally wasn't going to go, because I'm completely broke right now, and not in a cute way, in a any other person other than me would be panicking right now way. While I've always been really unlucky in finances and career, I have never been unlucky in friendship. A friend offered me a ticket for day two, as long as I could cover my flight and accommodation. And then another friend offered me a free bed in a hastily converted garage hangout space. And then another friend had open seats in the luxury box for day one. And the opportunity to be in a luxury box was definitely too tempting to pass up. So, flights purchased, I headed down to the Bay Area. Day one was the luxury box. We had a theater box, and there were 8 of us in it. You can apparently just buy half of it with 4 as well. They serve you food. It was a J-Hope themed meal with Korean-style chicken, green beans, and a corn-based dish. There were no options for vegetarians, though. Even the veggie dishes were kimchi-based, and kimchi usually is made with fish sauce, so that wasn't an option. Now, just my honest review, the only good thing about the luxury box was the fact that you had more room to dance, and you could wave your hands in the air without worrying about pissing off the people behind you. And you could also control who you were sitting next to, since you usually get a box with people you know. Other than those things, I'd say maybe the bathroom shared with less people was cool, and you had a comfier seat. But there really wasn't any other benefit. It could just be the way Oakland ran things. They only had one server for all the theater boxes, even though they knew full well they were sold out that night. We were on the end, so by the time the server got to us to even take our order, the show had already started. Then the food came, and you have to figure out how to eat a whole bone-in half-chicken in the dark with plastic cutlery while still keeping your eyes on a show and snapping whatever fan cams or photos you want to take. Suffice it to say, an impossible endeavor. We were supposed to have a dedicated merch booth, too, and we did, except that it barely had anything. We actually got all our merch afterwards at the merch booths in the main part of the stadium. Why they wouldn't stock the dedicated rich people merch booth, I have no idea. So, if they had stocked the merch booth and served the meal before the concert started, I'd have been far more impressed with the experience. On day two, I had 200 level seats, slightly more to one side. I was only row two, so there I felt like I had nearly the same view as with the luxury box. Actually, it felt a little bit closer, but more of the vibe of being in a crowd of army rather than separated from them. The army around me were all great, too. I don't know how they felt about me singing off-key in their ears, but none of them gave me any dirty looks, so I think we were cool with it. On the second day, I dined on delicious chicken fingers and fries that I had lined up for, and was finished well before the show started. The downside was far less dancing space, and no ability to wave my arms around like a lunatic. I kept things very contained in my own little 2 feet of space, but I had just as much of a good time. Okay, now let's talk about the actual show, rather than the different ticket type experiences. Hobie was amazing, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. I posted about it on Blue Sky, but I was screaming, singing along, and yelling way more than I remember doing at any other show, and I was confused at first about why that would be, and then I realized that J-Hope is BTS's hype man. Among his many, many talents is the talent to get the crowd excited, screaming, and fully engaged in participating. My friend and I also talked about how Hobie doesn't really perform any slow songs. He does have a couple in his repertoire. I'd love for him to perform Blue Side, for example. But this concert is more of a celebration than anything. It starts off with the harder rap performances, mostly from Jack in the Box, that don't have any choreo and are more aggressive. Then it moves into a dance section, Hope on the Street, and a celebration and demonstration of different street dance styles. Then it moves into J-Hope's newest songs before launching us back in time to J-Hope's beginnings, featuring songs from Hope World, and then moving into the BTS section of the night, where he showcases the BTS songs that he had a heavier hand in creating. Then the main concert ends with a climactic audience participation songs before just a very short, maybe 10-minute break before the encore, which is about spreading the message of equality, hope, and perseverance. The whole time, though, it's impossible not to dance and sing along, to scream whenever he tells us to make some noise, or has the different sections of the room compete in how loud we can be. I shook my army bomb so hard, I actually broke my wrist strap. Thankfully, did not drop the army bomb when this happened. There's also army's personal challenges. How well can we do the mic drop sound chant? How loud can we be on the Mianeome line? Do we know enough Spanish to pull off Becky G's verse in Chicken Noodle Soup? I have to say that my friend who accompanied me for the whole weekend really held it down for our luxury box and on my behalf on day two for the Becky G verse. I never learned Spanish, and the most I can do is yell the last word of each Becky G line as if I'm her hype man, rather than singing the whole thing. My Anglo-Finno-Germanic self was just not made for romance languages. I think in terms of getting ARMY hyped up for a BTS reunion tour, there's no better person to send out as a vanguard than their hype man, J-Hope. It was a really, really fantastic concert. I can't put it into words. And J-Hope, goes without saying, looked absolutely amazing. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, my favorite outfit is the encore outfit for day two, where he just looks really relaxed in a flannel shirt, a concert merch t-shirt, and his glasses. Very boyfriend, I think, is the look. Yeah, he looked fantastic. You can see it, of course, on his live stream that he did immediately after he exited the stage. I have it on video. I'll see if I can post it once I get my videos sorted. But after the concert, I hadn't turned off my army bomb yet. The show had just ended, and the army bomb was cycling through the colors of the rainbow, still connected to the system. So I decided to take a short video of it. And as I pressed record, the notification that Hobie had come live appeared on my phone. And so I have a video of me, of my army bomb, and then you hear my voice going, "He's live already!" So yeah, so if you want to see his encore outfit for day two, just check Weverse live streams. And that's my concert report. Again, amazing. And I know his North American tour is over now, but if you are in Asia and you can find a ticket available for any of his concert in Asia, I highly recommend that you try to make it. And now it's time to spin the random song generator to find out what song I'm talking about next week. So let me pull that up because I never pull this up ahead of time because that would be smart. The winner is, oh, 2-3. Still wishing there will be better days from 2016, the Wings album, BTS's first fan song. Can't wait to discuss it. If you have any thoughts, please reach out. And that brings us to the end of the podcast. If you'd like to discuss this episode, today's song, or have a say in what song gets selected for discussion in the future, you can find me over at Patreon at A Brand New Day Pod. You can also email me at abrandnewdaypod@gmail.com or find me on Blue Sky under A Brand New Day Pod. Thanks. Have a good rest of your day.